Today on the Sex and Tell Show, we'll be talking to Tickled Fancy Burlesque Company about what they do. Welcome to the Sex and Tell Show with Heidi and Sonia. Could you introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Mabel Syrup. I am the owner and producer of the Tickle Fancy Burlesque Company.
And my name is Annie Thing, and I am one of the MCs.
I started the Tickle Fancy in October of 2007.
And I joined in November. They had been together and practicing, but had not performed yet.
We had a bake sale in November.
Your bake sale
was so cold. Worst idea ever.
Could you tell us a little about the kind of shows that you do? And maybe tell us about burlesque in general and then kind of how your shows are.
Okay. Well, the troupe started out with a more traditional themed idea of acts and burlesque, which is to say like older music, more instrumentals, more like of the classic striptease style fan dances. And over the course of the past 5 years, we've evolved into doing all types of different music and all types of different acts. Some of them don't even involve like an actual striptease. Some of it is just skits and humor in addition to some clothing removal.
We've taken burlesque and kind of mixed it with variety and vaudeville to put out a full-rounded show instead of just kind of one category. So you're going to go and see, you know, one act will be vaudeville, the other one will be more burlesque and striptease and classic, the next one will be more dance involved. We have several people in the troupe that kind of each have strong points that bring them to the troupe, so we really try and play up to their creativity and make as much of a variety as possible.
Mm-hmm. We've been very lucky as far as having people that have been drawn to our troupe that have a lot of different background skills. I mean, we have dancers, we have classically trained dancers that are with us, and also people that have worked like tech on movies, and people that have, let's see, been involved in the theater and have written and directed and done stuff along those lines, and
customers.
Yeah, that's
clowns.
True.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting how that just kind of all comes together. Like, yeah.
Well,
it seems to
really
work out.
It feels like we're a group of people that have come together because this was all stuff we really enjoyed doing growing up as kids and as teenagers that we never thought we'd have an opportunity to do again. Like, we all thought we were done playing, and we're not.
So, can you explain just the specific details that make burlesque as opposed to, say, vaudeville or stripteasing or that kind of thing?
Burlesque generally is more along the lines of really teasing. A girl or boy will get up on stage and really emphasize their body and their costume and really want you to, as an audience member, pay attention to what they're showing you, whether it be, you know, their ankle or their shoulder or their breasts. They really take it slowly to really emphasize that that's the part they really want you to pay attention to. When it comes to vaudeville, and at least what we do, it's more of a skit. We have MCs that kind of make a storyline for us just to connect all the acts together. But the acts themselves, lady or male, will come out and really have a storyline, you know, whether it's a setting of, you know, they're going to the park and they come across something weird that they find, like a gnome. Trust me, it's happened. You know, they come across a gnome and they try to oppress the gnome with like hula hooping and cartwheels, and, you know, it kind of builds that story, and, you know, the gnome's not impressed, and so they start to take off their clothes. And
it's fine. That's what I do when I find a gnome.
Again, it's happened. So we really try and add that storyline of, you know, not just emphasizing that certain body point, but like making a story for it so you kind of follow it. You're more entertained with pattern to it, so you get into it and you can find the humor and you become more connected with it. Mm-hmm. It's not just watching somebody on stage being beautiful in their costumes, mm-hmm. but it's really connecting with it and finding the humor, which often is not found in just traditional burlesque, because, you know, I think laughter is the sexiest thing in the world,
totally.
Personally, but...
Well, and it's also just about, like, I mean, every performer in our troupe has a different idea of and a different way in which they feel sexy, what makes them feel good, what they want to present. Mm-hmm. And it could be humor. And for some people, it's dance. And for some people, it's a showcasing of this costume that they've created. Mm. Something that we say a lot when we're trying to put together acts, or like when someone's pitching an act, is what's the punchline? What's the moment?
What's the bottom line?
Yep, exactly. Why are we doing this?
What you're doing.
Right. About your troupe. How many people are in your troupe?
As of right now, we have 9. We've had varying amounts of people from 5 to 13 at a time, but we're kind of sticking with 9 for now. It seems to really work really well together. You know, we can communicate and get points across without somebody missing something.
Do your acts usually include all members of your troupe?
We have we do a lot of solo acts where it's, you know, each individual kind of has their own idea. We do a lot of duet numbers.
I think our largest act is 7.
Question. So I get the impression that there are a lot of females in the troupe, but mm-hmm. you mentioned there are also some men.
We've had men in the troupe. Right now, my co-host is usually my co-host is a man. And this, I'm on my third co-host. They keep leaving me. I keep wearing them out.
And, but it does add for fun patter. Yeah. You're like, another one.
I know. And we had a few different gentlemen in the troupe with us. Currently, we don't have any boys. Auditions? Anyone?
Yeah, currently we don't have any male performers, but hopefully that changes. For some reason, males are a little bit harder to get up on stage and do burlesque.
Also,
they'll get up there and perform, but they're like, I don't want to take my clothes off.
Or they'll keep it strictly like goofy style, which is nice and funny. Mm-hmm. But something I really appreciated about one of the last gentlemen that was in our troupe, Merkenhausen, was that he wasn't afraid to get up there and be sensual.
Right.
Be mm-hmm. male and be sensual.
And mm. humorous at the same time.
Yeah, he was great.
He added that combination. He had a little bit of everything, which was really nice to see, especially in a male performer.
Yeah.
So we were talking about costumes earlier, and I heard all about glitter and people making their own costumes. I want to hear more about the costume aspect.
We make all of our costumes ourselves, every single piece, usually.
Well, I mean, it's found and repurposed.
I was going to say, there are some things we do find at Value World and stuff, but we've been getting more into making mm-hmm. the full-on costumes ourselves, which really adds something, because mm-hmm. you can... This is good and bad, I suppose. You can really tell. you know, if you go to Chicago and watch a burlesque show, or New York and watch a burlesque show, the ladies up on stage,
wow.
it's flawless costumes, but you know they're paying like $300 to thousands of dollars for those costumes. Ooh. Whereas we really like Value World. And
Value
you know,
World and the internet.
And
thank you, Etsy and eBay.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, but the plus side is we can make the costume what we want. Mm-hmm. We can have it tear off or come off how we want, you know. We can manipulate it the way we want and really get those little side jokes in there too. Mm-hmm. Like I have costumes with many pockets that hold many magic tricks and rubber chickens and things like that. So, you know.
And it's the same, our set pieces, like everything we have up there is like found, repurposed, or made out of cardboard.
So it's really nice to, as an audience member, at least for me, to go into a show and see like sets and costumes made by the people who are doing it, because you get more of a sense that that's something you can do. Mm-hmm, you know, yeah. It's not something that's just like polished and bought and you spent hundreds of dollars mm-hmm. on, and it looks great. Mm-hmm. But
kind
when you're watching that
it.
Like do-it-yourself kind of style, it feels like something you can be part of. Mm-hmm. And that's really good in the burlesque community, because it's such a nerve-wracking thing that so many people are like, you are so brave. I could never do that. But seeing our show, we have so many people afterwards mm-hmm. be like, how do I start? Where do I sign up? Like, this is great. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys make it seem like I can do it. And yep. the benefit is, in our troupe, we have ladies of different creativity, but also of different body shapes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have mm-hmm. small girls, big girls, tall girls, short girls, men, you know.
Anybody can do it.
All sorts. So it really gives that presentation that really anybody can get up there and do it, as long as you're confident enough mm-hmm. in yourself.
Yeah.
When I saw my first burlesque show, years and years ago in Brooklyn. And it blew my mind because, I mean, I was like in my early 20s and, you know, not terribly body secure. And it was really great to see so many different types of people get on stage, have a blast, and everyone was screaming for them. And it was like, it was sort of a revelation to me because I was looking at these women and thinking that they were all attractive.
Yeah.
Every one of them. And it's odd to be here like 10 to 15 years later. And having people come up and be like, seeing you on stage makes me feel attractive.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really amazing.
It's something that's kind of like been percolating. It's just like everything you're talking about and everything that seems to be what your burlesque company is about is really just like tuning into your own sexuality and your own sensuality. And
a lot of self-confidence.
Yeah. Because like, and what we were talking about earlier about like how you like to portray characters and not just like objectifying yourself to please an audience. It's really just about how humans interact with each other and how our relationships work and how you should feel confident and sensual in yourself and like your own relationships and mm-hmm. and even like even your burlesque shows, like showing all of these like goofy things and like putting humor into it, like that's all sex and sexuality. Like sex is funny, sex mm-hmm. is sensual, sex is all of these things, and you can be all of these things.
I think the good part is, you know, at least now in 2012, sex is very you know, depending on, you know, what side of the spectrum you're on, sex is either like nothing, like you don't even think about it, it's everywhere, you know, every magazine has some beautiful woman on it wearing a bikini, and then there's the other side where sex is this forbidden thing. So what I really like about burlesque is it's kind of like in between, you know. Mm-hmm. We have that confidence to be like, listen, like we're not out there doing sex acts on stage. Mm-hmm. You know what we're really doing is making sex sexy again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's not saying it's bad, it's not saying it's like nothing, you know.
And it's not saying it has to be one particular way.
Right.
Like I think that's what I think is pretty important about burlesque, is that it's we're showcasing so many different types of what sexy can mean.
Right.
Like there's everyone has their own idea. Everyone has that thing that titillates or they find so fascinating. And that's a lot of what, frankly, that's what when I am planning an act, I'm showcasing what I think is sexy. Mm-hmm. And I know that's what all the other performers are doing as well.
And
so
it's all different.
Yep, mm-hmm. exactly.
And it's all sexy.
And then there's someone in the audience that's like, oh my God, I think that thing is sexy.
Yeah. And it really helps because we're not just up there like objectifying ourselves, mm-hmm. being that sexy woman in the bikini. Like we're really playing it up to
your
our creative styles yeah. and our characters. And, you know, each member of the troupe kind of over the years, although we try and vary out of our character to kind of switch it up, we kind of stick to our character, you know, mm-hmm. Which is really nice because then the audience kind of can relate to what they find their favorite. You know, mm-hmm. if they really find the humor sexy, they have their favorite performers in the troupe because they're like, oh, I love your acts, you're hilarious. Or I really love your acts because you're such a beautiful ballerina. You know, like
yeah.
different aspects, and it really hits the audience individually. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just one thing.
One of the members of our troupe wrote a piece about what burlesque means to her, and I brought just one part of it, and I think it really encapsulates what
sure,
we're talking about
it.
Here.
Yeah.
This is from, and this is not just because she's my onstage lover.
Uh-huh. Sure.
This is from Ruby Lawless. Burlesque is an outlet in which I use every part of my personality and performance history. It's my soul that's on display as I dance, but it's my burlesque alter ego, Ruby Lawless, who connects with the audience. Ruby is fearless. She is beautiful and tough as nails. It has been a huge confidence booster to realize that I have all of her qualities. As Ruby, I am captivating enough to remain completely in control of the dynamic between the audience and the performer. Rather than fearing a stranger's gaze, I demand that they look. By purposefully putting my body on display, I take away the ability of others to comment on it without permission. I have learned to respect my body for the power that it holds over other people, rather than fear it for the power that others can take from me.
I want to talk about the relationship that, as performers, you have to have with your audience.
Hmm.
As far as on or off stage?
Well, I mean, I'd love to hear anything you really could tell me.
Personally, I still feel like I'm getting away with something. I cannot believe that people are willing to come and pay money to watch me have such a blast. And I can't, like, I'm just up here with all of my best friends having the most fun, and I can't believe you guys want to come and do it too. Isn't that great?
Yeah. Generally, when I'm on stage, I block out the audience, in all honesty. I often will play up to them and go up to them during my skit and kind of get them to participate, but it's easier for me to kind of just block them out, and so I'm really just playing for myself. But it's just easier for me to pretend they're not there until I get off stage. Mm-hmm. And then they come up to you and they're like, great show, or I like your act, or what you guys do is amazing. And then I really become personal at that point. Cool. Where, you know, I know that they're there, and I'd want them to feel welcome at any show, anytime. Mm-hmm. So I really give thanks and, you know, weed out the creeps, of course. Which are few and far between.
Yeah,
you'd be surprised.
I would be very surprised, because if I'd come to your show, I would be amazed and just not know how to approach you, quite honestly. I would have just thought, wow, there's this magical thing, and here's the barrier. I can't go past it.
Yeah, it's cool that you have people come up to you so much.
Yeah, I do feel that some of the audience feels that, you know, once you're off stage, you can tell by the looks on their face that they want to tell you you did a great job. But wow, they're like, I just saw you.
What do I say?
Is, I feel like I get sort of a little bit of a different vibe. It's easier for people since I'm the MC, I'm the talker. Mm-hmm. I do acts occasionally, but not regularly. Mm-hmm. So people are used to me being there talking. Mm-hmm. And it's not that hard to talk to somebody that was just talking to you. Mm-hmm.
Right. That's so true, yeah.
And you do also interact with the audience from stage. You know, there, yes, are occasional hecklers or somebody that'll, like,
that's my favorite part,
say a quick line, and our MCs will just talk to them. They'll turn it around and be like, yes, we agree with you, and make that audience member part of the show. And now the entire audience is paying attention to that one person said. So, you know, if you're going to scream something during a Bless show, you better make it good, because we're going to make fun of you.
Oh, best heckler in Chicago. I said, this evening is drawing to its close. And he said, this evening has had no close. And we totally stole it, and now it's in a script. Thanks, Crash. Yes.
Right. That was really good. That's really good.
Audience is a big part of our show. Yeah. We really play up to them.
I would be lost. That's what I'm doing up
you
there.
You feed off of their,
yeah,
energy.
And I'm like, that's what my moment is when I'm up there. Like, that's what I'm looking for. I want to be able to, like, to steer you guys, to steer the audience, to have you play to your humor and have you laugh when I tell the joke, and to have you gasp when I tell the cheesy, oh no, what are we doing now? You know.
Mm-hmm. I think for the most part as a troupe, we try our hardest to just bring them into the show as much as possible, whether it's, you know, putting a hand to the ear to make them know that that's their sign, that we want to hear it. We want to hear screaming and clapping.
Or handing them a giant tweezers to tweeze off your fake organs in an operation act.
Oh my. Wow.
Yeah, the front row of our shows really get it. You know,
I know where I'm sitting next time.
It's not also a good thing, because I've dumped potato flakes on people before. So.
Wow. Potato flakes?
Yeah, we try to make some people some drinks.
Yeah. We tried to make it snow, but our fan was a little too
It was
industrial.
More like an avalanche.
And so it just dumped on them. And, oh, you know, God, they looked at me like, what are you doing? I was like, sorry, here's some more. They don't like that so much. But
but now one of them is our co-host.
It's true. We did rope one of them in by that.
Wow.
So impressed by the potato.
I get it.
I got to remember that.
Yeah. Often the front row has the most fun, but also gets the most, like, glittered and confetti.
I mean, if you're going to sit in the front row, you have to.
It's the front row of SeaWorld, okay?
Right.
It's where all the action is, but you're going to get wet, okay?
Well, I was talking about
I might just steal that.
Let's talk about how we need, like, one of those plastic sheetings to be able to put up.
Yeah. Moving on.
Well, what are some of your favorite shows that you've done?
Probably my favorite show, although it's hard because every time we have a show, we're like, that was the best
that
show
was the best
ever.
One. That was the best.
And then
one
we have another one, and the next one's the best show. But I'd have to say, out of all of them, my favorite was probably our Fairy Tales and Fantasy show.
Oh,
Which kind of explains it. Kind of explains itself. We really played up to our favorite fairy tales and fantasies, mm-hmm. and it was the fairy tales show was probably our biggest production, mm-hmm. At least to start off with. Yep. Our backgrounds got bigger, our costumes got better, our numbers got better because we were so enthusiastic about it, because who doesn't love fairy tales? Yeah. So we just got so excited, and I feel that some of our strongest acts really came out during that show. But again, as I said, every show afterwards has been our best show too. But
that was one of my favorite scripts too.
Right.
I mean, that was the best off the top of my head banter ever.
Scripts. We don't use those.
Do you ever go back to shows, or are you continually producing new shows?
No, I don't think we've ever gone back. We've pulled acts and brought them forward if they've been applicable to a new show or two. Like right now we're doing a variety show. And we've pulled acts from all kinds of... there are some acts from Fantasies and Fables in that show, aren't there? Isn't...
So it's like a best of kind of
yeah.
thing?
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. So we do variety shows that kind of take the best of, and we switch them around. You know, we'll mm-hmm. pull out old ones and bring in new ones. But as for repeating shows, we really haven't done it.
Well, it's hard to do because we're such a rotating cast mm-hmm. that it's going to be a new show no matter what.
Mm-hmm. And theme shows are kind of hard to bring on the road as well because we play often the theme shows to our audience in Ann Arbor here.
Mm-hmm. And there's sort of a story, there's a troop storyline sort of that's been going the whole time. There are, like Mabel was saying earlier, there are like characters, like all the different people in the troop have a persona, and mm-hmm. it's grown and developed and had storylines over the course of the existence of the troop. So people that see us repeatedly at the Pig, which is our home venue,
mm-hmm. know our inside
yeah,
jokes.
They know the jokes. They know who's in a relationship with who. They know who's mad at who. They know who has, you know, who has a drinking problem and who, you know, like all of that kind of stuff.
Some of the actors on the troop have a recurring character mm-hmm. that will have
yep.
issues or
like Miss Annie things are alcoholic.
Hey,
oh dear,
I'm just clumsy.
Does maple syrup have her thing?
Maple syrup is a tyrant.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And clown.
Mm-hmm. And a clown.
So I'm the prankster. Basically, mm-hmm. I like to cause mischief and take all the money and not share it.
Yes. Annie also has a problem with that. Steal I'm constantly having schemes with my co-host to make money, and then somehow I end up with all of it. And then subsequently another drink.
But each show kind of ties into it. We bring up these repeated kind of storylines to see who in the audience really picks it up. Yeah. One of our ladies, Ruby Lawless, has this flirtatious relationship with Annie, but it's secretive.
She loves me.
It's secretive. And
she'll never leave me as long as I have money.
Oh. So things like that. So if she just randomly appears on stage behind, like the audience will just know, and they're like, yeah, you're there, you're gonna do something, you know. Whether it's like stealing money from Anne's corset or, you know, just like little jokes that the audience picks up on. Mm-hmm. And it's really beneficial that we do, like our bigger shows, at least when we bring original shows, bring them to the Blind Pig or somewhere local, because although our audience always rotates and changes, we have a lot of repeat audience. Mm-hmm. So they really get those inside jokes and have that local connection, so we can tell like Ann Arbor puns and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and they get it. Mm-hmm. Where it's hard to represent when you bring on the road, because these theme shows have so many inside jokes that like you can say it and like nobody knows that Ruby Lawless and Annie have this history, you know. Mm-hmm. So they're like, right. Okay,
well, so you tweak it a little bit and you make it, you know, I mean, the idea is to have a show that everyone can watch and have a good time at, and then as a bonus, people who have been coming repeatedly get like the next layer of the jokes.
Mm. So you really play to your fans.
We try to.
That's really cool.
I mean, we do it for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Whether there's 5 people in the audience or 300, like mm-hmm. that's who we're playing for. So mm-hmm. we really play it up.
Just this past Tuesday, we hosted a troupe of the Fierce Queer Burlesque Troupe. They're raising awareness. They're on tour right now for like 2 months, raising awareness for the first queer burlesque festival in Ohio.
Whoa. Wait, where's that?
Fierce is the first international queer burlesque tour that'll be happening next year in May, I think is what they said. May 2013 in Columbus is when where they're starting, I believe. Okay. And they're going to be going throughout.
But they came through here on a Tuesday, so that's not exactly a big show
right,
night.
Yeah.
During the summer.
Tuesday during the summer. And like, what was door 40? I think there were 40 people there.
About 44 people.
Which was not bad.
It was about twice as much as I thought would be there.
But they were all so great and so into it and cool. So vocal. It was a really, really good crowd. It doesn't matter if it's a small crowd or a big crowd, as long as everybody's into it.
Yeah, what kind of energy do they bring to
the show? Yeah. And it were great.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. Do you do a lot of collaboration like that?
It's not often that we really set up shows for other people, because Ann Arbor's not usually a stop like that. Usually they go to Detroit. We're trying to get it to be, but often people go to Detroit. But we're trying to get Ann Arbor on the map, at least for the burlesque community, as a stop. Obviously, work at the Blind Pig. We're going to start working with Live. We've worked in Ypsilanti with Woodruff's in the Elbow Room when they were open. So we're trying to get this area more as like a stop for either traveling burlesque or vaudeville or
Chicago
circus.
And Detroit and Grand Rapids. Ann Arbor should be in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool. Just need a better venue, a theater here. Mm-hmm. It's hard. That's the other thing that's hard about performing in Ann Arbor and in this area, is that there aren't a lot of actual theaters that are available. It's mostly bars and clubs, which is all right, but that means there's going to often be equipment on the stage. And it's, you know, it's a stage that musicians have been on with broken guitar strings and maybe even broken glass, which is not so great for dancing in bare feet or jazz shoes.
Which the Blind Pig has been great.
Yeah, they have.
We've been, our first show ever was at the Blind Pig, and so they let us manipulate the Blind Pig the way we want, which is nice.
Cool.
So we build a catwalk, we put up curtains,
oh,
we
have
like a dressing room, so we can kind of like personalize it and make it our own and make the stage a little bit bigger. So we really stick to like bars and like smaller venues. We're pretty good at adapting to kind of whatever stage we're stuck with.
That's definitely something you learn when you're touring.
So there's definitely things, like especially traveling around, but even locally, that we have to really adapt to. And that's something I've always appreciated with my troupe, is we're really good at that. We're like, oh, we have a 4x4 space for 9 people to get ready. Okay, we got it. We'll make it work. All right. Yeah.
I just want to ask about costume changes, because I imagine that you have to have several layers and very planned out what goes where, when it leaves, like everything is timed.
Well, we've developed a system. We build a little box right next to the stage and hang curtains.
Okay.
So there's like a side stage area, and that thing breaks down and can travel. And also, like, at the tiniest version of that is you take a few clothing racks and put curtains over them.
Rolling clothing racks.
And duck behind and... Nude thongs, people. Nude thongs.
Yeah, it's tricky, but we've made it work.
Yep. And it also, boy, does it get you over your... I mean, if you think getting on stage and taking your clothes off will get you over your body issues, changing backstage in a freezing room in front of a bunch of strangers, that's not sexy.
Could you guys tell us about some shows that are coming up?
We're going to be sending a few acts to a huge show at the Corner Brewery in Ypsilanti. It's the Velvet Hammer Show. Every year for the summer, they release their Velvet Hammer drink. And so it's a promotion. It's actually no cover show. It's a free promotion of their drink, but they're going to have performers all night long. We're going to be there doing a few burlesque acts. There's going to be magicians, a fire show, some other burlesque performers in vaudeville. The Ann Arbor Roller Derby will be there promoting. Last year, there was hundreds of people there. So it should be a lot of fun.
And then we'll be in Detroit. That's the next one, right?
Yep. And then our next show after that will be June 29th at Park Bar in Detroit. Or actually the Elizabeth Theater, which is upstairs of the Park Bar in Detroit. Tickle Fancy will be doing a full show there with also our vaudevillian friend Satori Circus from Detroit.
Oh, he's so great. Everyone should look him up immediately.
Is my clown idol, and I hope he's listening because I love him. As well as one of our ex-members, Lulu Loops. She will be doing a few numbers as well. And we will have a magic duo from Joshua Wild and Andrea Roy, as well as a vaudeville troupe from Ohio, Pinch and Squeal. So we're really excited for that show. We haven't been to Detroit in a while, so we're really looking forward to it. And then after that, we have Windy City Burlesque Festival. We will be performing our big old unicorn dance number.
With brand new costumes.
With brand new costumes at Windy City, which is July 14th. It's actually the 13th through the 16th.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Cool.
Yeah. And then we'll be doing a show on Sunday at Live
on
July 29th. And then I think we're going to take a pause until October.
And
when
we're
going to
make our Halloween
show
huge and evil.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you.
It really was a pleasure.
Having us.